This has been a wonderful day, and I suppose there are hundreds and hundreds of other people across our nation who would just be delighted to say some things regarding what Brother Harry meant to them. I remember with all so many times in the last 3-4 years the articles that have come out against the Way Ministry, and I remember one distinctly, I think, came out in Michigan a year and a half or so ago, where they said that Uncle Harry was a millionaire and that he got all this money from being my brother. And I wonder what they're saying today. I wonder what they'll say when they find out he never even had a will. Didn't need any, didn't have anything. You ain't got anything, what do you need a will for? See? And I'll just guarantee you this, those papers will never come back and apologize. You see, you can't build a ministry on what people say or don't say. This week in Emporia, Kansas, they ran an article on the Way Ministry in which they said I was lying if it was true, apparently a vast amount of money was going into Dr. Wirral's pockets and I was lining my pockets with the money of the Way believers. Well, I don't have a will either, so what are you going to say when I'm dead and gone? You see, you don't live for what people say while you're living or when you're dead and gone. You just live for the greatness of God's Word, and you stand before God in the light of that Word. And I'm real thankful. Again, God is supplying my need daily, and I just live from day to day and week to week. And I praise the Lord for it. How longer can you live? You can only live a day at a time. And if you make that one, maybe the next day you can make, right? And so all of this teaching that the church has given, you know, you're supposed to leave a will, leave money for your children, that's not according to God's Word. I made this commitment to God because a man's responsible for his children. I would give my children a good start in life. Number one, teach them the abundance of the greatness of the Word that Mrs. Wirral and I know. Share our hearts with them, our lives with them. And then we would get them started in their business or profession. We would help them. In other words, right now, JP's a junior in college. I never expect to see JP starve. I never expect to see him that he hasn't got the money to go through college. But when that boy gets through college and he's established, from then on, she's his baby. If he's not a good enough man to make a living after that, he just has to go down with the ship. It goes for Donnie, our Karen, our Mary. Sarah now is a member of the Way Corps. Sure, we're going to see that she gets through the Way Corps. But boy, once she has accomplished that, and she's already a wonderful secretary, when she finishes the Corps, she can go any place and get a job as a secretary. You see, you get your children and set them on their own feet. Then give everything away you got. Everything you have. Share it while you're living. Teach your children that, and we'll raise up a group of children again that have great believing. Well, bless your old heart. I'm not going to tell you all that, but you know, sometimes from a human point of view, I'm glad Harry's dead. He doesn't have to take all the crap anymore that I'm taking, that he and I took for years. But really, I guess as long as we were together, it never bothered us. I don't know what I'm going to do now since he's gone. Up until the Rock of Ages, I said this is the most difficult year I'd ever had in my life. And then it hasn't stopped. It just kept getting worse and worse until Uncle Harry passed away. And tonight, of course, my heart is still real moving with things because Howard Allen's mother is in a coma. And you see, it's just one damn thing after another, the adversary. But people, it's still God's Word if we all die tonight. And I'm just so absolutely convinced. But sometimes I need the renewed mind, too. And I just thank God for your prayers for me. I really do. I think that's the one thing that keeps me moving and going ahead. I, for the life of me, people, sense knowledge-wise, I can't figure out how to run this ministry. Because my brother Harry and I have been together longer than 35 years. That plaque says he was on the Board of Trustees 35. But he was with me 5 years before we ever had a Board of Trustees. So at least 40 years we've been together. And whenever there were decisions to make, we'd talk it over. And how to do this now when you haven't got that man, only God knows. I don't yet. And I know some of the things that I've gone through the last week and 10 days. But Well, anyways, I remember when that article came out that started me on it. Uncle Harry sat back there in that second office where the board of trustees sit, and he just giggled. You know how he could giggle. He said, if they only knew, he said, if they only knew. He said, my father's got the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I owned a whole bunch. That was just something. Oh, we've had some times together. Well, you know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says that, well, you know, there were two angels that were around when Jesus Christ did the liftoff there, the ascension. And it's like the return's going to be the great snatch, you know, somebody said. Verse 11 said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Doesn't say this same God. Can you read? Well, read. What's it say?
Jesus.
Yeah, and if the Bible meant God, you know what it'd say? God ain't stupid. God's not stupid, because the Word says that God had holy men who spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. Had God wanted God in there, you know what it said? Look, I got two sons, J.P. and Donnie, and I'm a human being. I know they're my sons. One would think if there is a God, and if He is what the Word says He is, He ought to be able to keep track of one. Isn't that right? By sheer logic. Hey, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall, and shall is the absolute tense, so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. 85%, you listen to me now. And if you don't believe it, you go look it up, because I have, and I know what's happening theologically in our country. 85% of the so-called Christian clergy who graduate from our theological seminaries do not believe that Jesus Christ is a living reality and He's coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think the next generation of children are going to believe? If the man in the pulpit does not believe it, what do you think the children are going to believe? Well, I want to tell you what the way children are going to believe. You bet your life, boy. That same Jesus, not a counterfeit, not a half a one, that same Jesus. And these were angels of God. I don't know who they were, but with my little knowledge of the Word and the stuff I've learned from the Word, I think it was Gabriel and this other angel, Michael, right. That's the two biggies. I think they were there because it was God's only begotten Son that went up. And those were the angels who said it. They were the official ambassadors of God Almighty. They ought to know what God's doing, because they would speak what God wanted spoken. And they said, the same Jesus is coming back as ye have seen him what? Amen. Boy, what a record. In Acts chapter 7, listen to this wonderful verse. Verse 56. And said, this is Stephen, behold, I see the heavens what? And the Son of God doing what? Standing on the right hand of God. Now that doesn't mean God had his right hand out here in the Son of Man was standing on it. I like that when Claudette said her favorite color was black. I always keep accusing her of just laying out in the sun all the time. So, but really something, isn't it? Well, look. The Son of Man, talking about Jesus Christ, standing on the right hand of what? Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ is God, he's got to be standing on his own side. Come on, why don't people just read and quit arguing with God and his word? You don't argue with a tennis book, rule book. You don't argue with a football rule book. You don't argue with a basketball rule book. Then why in the world do you want to argue with God and his word? That's a lot bigger than a tennis book. Hey, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, then the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God cannot be what? Or you got God standing on his own hand. I want to tell you, anybody that believes that Jesus Christ is God has to be absolutely insane. You got to be mentally deranged. You got to be stupider than a dead jackass. Or something. I didn't know she was there, but she's there, I hear her. Look, I'm so sick and tired of Jesus Christ being degraded, the true God being degraded. I've given too much of my life to the integrity and accuracy of the Word to allow people to stand around and take a crack at God and his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, without my standing up and say, look, keep your lousy mouth shut or put it up. My Bible says Jesus Christ was standing on the right hand of God. And ladies and gentlemen, God can't be standing on himself on the other side. You figure it out if you've got any more brains than God. Huh. Boy, look at Romans 8. Reason I'm taking you in this logic, because you might not be able to find the books otherwise. 8:34. Listen to this. I thought it was Romans 8:34. Yeah, here it is. Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ who died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of what?
God.
Right hand of God. He's not God. He's the Son of God. Look, if you came up here and stood on my right hand, you wouldn't be me. Praise the Lord. You don't want to be me anyways. You see, it's so simple. But because of wrong teaching, without going back to the Word, we've gotten into all the confusion. And then we sit in these churches and we hear it. Some of us know it isn't right, but we'll still sit there. And ladies and gentlemen, that's as much as saying you agree with what they're saying. I've come to the place in my life, as long as we got a free country, I can walk out whenever I want to. And ladies and gentlemen, I walk out on them. Now, I can stand a lot of things. You can, you know, you can take a crack at me, say I line my pockets with all the money you people give and all the rest of the junk. Doesn't bother me. But boy, when you tell me that God's word is wrong, I lose all the dandruff I haven't got. That's right. I want to tell you, you can take a crack at my life. You can take a crack at my brother. You can take a crack at my family. I'll sort of go with it. But boy, don't you ever take a crack at God or God and his word. I'll leave you cold in a dead turkey. I'll walk out. I don't have to sit there. Now, I'm not going to argue with people. I'm simply going to look them straight in the eye and say, you are a liar. Let me use another word or two that they understand. I just let nobody touch the word, whether it's my sisters, my brother, physical, my own children. I just don't let anybody touch the word. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that word is God's will. No man can know God's will without knowing God's word. And the time of the Reformation was a time when people again read their Bibles. If you're still believing that Jesus Christ is God, you haven't read the Bible. You've listened to the Protestant Pope or some other Pope. You haven't read the Word. You can't read the Word and believe that. I don't care how you twist it. You can't get it out of the Word. Well, that's what Romans says. The right hand of God. And it is he who makes what? Not the Virgin Mary. That's right. It is Jesus Christ who's the intercessor. He intercedes for us. He covers for us. He fights our battles for us. Well, thank God he's at work for us. A lot of us would still be in the soup. In Colossians. Comes after Philippians someplace, so flip through it and get to Colossians. Chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are here upon earth.
No.
But isn't that what so many Christians have done? Christians have just been like the unbelievers. The only difference is it's eternal life and they're finally going to make it. But otherwise, they've just been like the unbelievers, seeking the things on the earth. What can we accumulate? What kind of prestigious position can I hold? What power can I wield? The Word of God says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of whom? There again. So he's either standing or sitting on his right hand. Anybody with an ounce of brains knows Jesus Christ can't be God. Why was he standing a while ago and here he's sitting? Oh, he got tired. No. The word sit, to sit, ladies and gentlemen, is used in the Bible when something is completely complete. In the book of Genesis, 6 days, the creation, and the seventh day, it says, and God rested from all the work which he had formed, made, and created. God rested. The word rested is the word sat in the original text. God rested. God didn't rest because he was physically exhausted, because he has no physical body. He didn't rest because he was spiritually exhausted. God sat because it was all finished. Everything was completely complete. On the day of Pentecost, if you remember in Acts chapter 2, when the outpouring was given, it sat upon each of them. It's complete, completely complete. Nobody has received anything more than what was given on the day of Pentecost. A lot of people have received less. They haven't received more. And it's still available tonight. It sat. When Jesus Christ had completed our redemption, he ascended up into heaven. God raised him from the dead, it says, and he ascended up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. The reason he sat down at the right hand is because man's redemption is completely complete. Completely complete. But I read you the record that he makes intercession for what? And Stephen in Acts had just been boldly declaring God's word. And they were stoning Stephen for the truth of God's word. And who do you think were stoning him? The religious people. That's right. The leaders of what you today would call Christianity were the ones who were stoning Stephen. And you know who stood up? Jesus Christ. That's why he stood up. Because here was one of his men dying. And Jesus Christ, the intercessor, stands for us even in death, even in persecution, even when they were stoning Stephen. He looked up and he saw Jesus Christ standing. Boy, that's what he's doing for us tonight if we're faithful to God's word. If you and I are faithful to God's word tonight, he's not only our intercessor, but he's standing for us. Oh, in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, bless your heart. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the what? Heavens. And in chapter 12 of Hebrews, and in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The word our is in italics. It must be scratched. He is not the finisher of our faith. He's the finisher of faith, period. It's mine only because I believed in him. It's yours because you believe. But he's the finisher of what? Faith, that's right. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, all the way through, it's Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God. It's Jesus Christ interceding. It's Jesus Christ standing for the believers. And the seated at the right hand, it's completely complete. It's all done. And the reason Claudette came in here, because I asked her today what song she'd really like to sing that she'd do on the piano, and the song she wants to sing is that great number, Seated at the Right Hand, Claudette.
A lot like me and you, and he had his birth and walked this earth like other people do. But he's different, for he died, but God has raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord, our Father planned ahead. He rose from death that all mankind might be set free, and walked around so all of Satan's boys could see. But he did not stop there. He ascended up above and now is seated at the right hand of our God. If you think that you may live your life alone upon this earth, you may surely live a life, but it will not be one of worth. Christ ascended up to heaven that this life of yours might be one of loving and prosperity. He rose from death that all mankind might be set free, and walked around so all of Satan's boys could see. But he did not stop there. He ascended up above and now is seated at the right hand of our God. He rose from death that all mankind might be set free. He walked around so all of Satan's boys could see, but he did not stop there. He ascended up above and now is seated at the right hand of our God.
Good.
Thank you.
Can you get through here? Can you make it? How about sitting over here for a little bit, huh? We're going to do something else. Hey, you do pretty good not having sung for a long time, huh?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, she's... Of course, I'm prejudiced. So... Take off 50% of my prejudice and I'm still right. She's the finest black soloist in America. Yeah. You know, I was really going to teach my heart out tonight. I thought, you know, lots of stuff go through a fellow's mind. But when she told me she was going to do Seated in the Heavenlies, in the right hand, I got to thinking the best thing I could do would be hold the word for it and just introduce it the way I did. I know it was a surprise to her because she didn't know I'd take 15 minutes to get her introduced. But I think that we talk about being on the same spiritual wavelengths, you know. She had no idea at all where I was going in the teaching. But that's exactly where I was going to go. Because I think it was When was I in Indiana? When Tuesday night, I was there. I was there when you guys woke up Wednesday morning. Okay. Wednesday afternoon, or sometime Wednesday, I wrote the following. And I want to share it with you, because that's long before today. This is what I wrote. Conflicting opinions concerning Jesus Christ as the Son of God have caused sincere people to be at a loss as to know what really to believe for truth. This symptom is due to the cause that the Scriptures are compromised, wrongly divided, or deliberately forged, and thus not understood. Talking about the Scriptures being deliberately forged, when it comes to the subject of Jesus Christ is not God, I will take you to your King James. Then I will take you to the New Testament that was written from the Stephen's text in Greek, and I will show you the original text in English language, in English letters, in any Young's Analytical Concordance, and I will show you that they deliberately forged the Scriptures to get it to mean the wrong thing. At least 9 places that Walter and I have documented, without a shadow of doubt, that we can prove that the translators through the years have deliberately forged. When it comes to God's revelation of Himself in His Word, which is composed of the words of God, there dare be no compromise, no wrong dividing, and certainly no deliberate forgery. John 3:16 should have and does settle it once and for all. All other scriptures dealing with God's only begotten Son must fit with and into John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that God did what? God gave His what? Only begotten Son. God did not give God. God gave His what? Now there are many similarities between a father and his son. Just like some of you may see some similarity in the action of Don and myself. Well, it wouldn't surprise me, he's my son. There would be similarities between the father and his son, but there will never be that they are identical. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. It's God's only begotten Son. It was Mary's firstborn, but it was God's only begotten Son. He was not God, He was His Son. Believers believe God's Word, just not something about the Word. You either follow God's way or you follow man's way. Men and women who still dare to think, including those who do think, not those who just think they think, have to continue to rebel against the commonly accepted orthodox interpretation of Jesus Christ as God, as propagated by denominational creeds and beliefs. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is identical to Jesus Christ, God the Son, then words are meaningless for communication. If Jesus Christ is the Son at one place, He must be the Son at all places. If, however, He is God at one place, then He must be God at all places. And John 3:16 says, He's God's only begotten Son. That's why you clearly see when you work the Word that all the Scriptures teach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and not God the Son. Men should begin to question and look for answers, because I know from the integrity and accuracy of God's Word that those who trust God's Word and who will believe God's Word, who will honestly consider the truth of God's Word, will discover that knowledge from God's Word, which will replace the vague speculation with which men have engulfed our so-called Christian society, and they will come back to the accuracy and the integrity of that Word. And then God once again will bless His people. Throughout the Old Testament, read it for yourself, God put up with Moses. He put up with David. One of my sisters brought this up the other night when we were in the home. So one of you sisters said you couldn't understand sometimes men of God that didn't walk good. Well, you're getting your answer tonight. I didn't know it the other night, you know, and thought about it, thinking about it now. You see, God can put up with a lot of things, and God puts up with a lot of things in men and women. But if you'll read your Bible, even though He put up with David and Solomon with all his concubines and all the rest of the junk, there is one thing God never put up with in the Bible, and that is if they had any other God than the one true God. And every time Israel went into captivity, they didn't go because Solomon had so many concubines and somebody else did something else. They went because they had other gods than the one true God. As long, sir, as they followed the one true God and were obedient to Him, there wasn't a bullet made that could kill an Israelite when God was around pushing for him. That's right. And every place in the record in God's Word where Israel went down the drain, went into captivity, was when they had other gods. And that's why the so-called, quote, Christian, end of quote, church is dead. No wonder it is in darkness. It's in captivity. People are enslaved because they've got three gods, but they won't admit it. Whether you admit it or not, God knows you got them. And He writes you off. Let you in your stupidity. And all the while you think, oh my golly, isn't this wonderful? You know, you can get so acclimatized to eating poison that the good food almost makes you sick. The Word of God's like that. You can have the Word of God so wrongly divided for years that when somebody gets to just reading what's written, like John 3:16, just reading what's written, just reading what Acts 1:11 said, just reading what Romans 8 said, they think you're wrong and they're right. Ladies and gentlemen, God's Word stands. And again, Christianity is the greatest thing God ever did. And yet on every hand today in numbers, Buddhism is growing faster, Mohammedanism, everything's growing faster except Christianity. You know why? Because we're in captivity, we're in slavery, and the reason we are, because we have been propounding three gods, and God just doesn't like it. There is only one God. There's only one Son, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And there is only one Holy Spirit, and when it's a capital H, capital S, it's God who is holy and God who is Spirit, and His gift, which He gave on the day of Pentecost, is also called Holy Spirit, small h, small s. And that's what we're filled with, and that's the proof of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because of that Christ in you, you can speak in tongues, and speaking in tongues is the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. If there's any reason why God's blessing in our ministry, it's not because I'm a scholar, I'm intelligent. I've never said I'm a scholar. I've never even said I'm intelligent. Better not, huh? Giggle back here. I think basic reason is because of our position that we know who God is and His Son is, and we haven't budged on it. I think that's why the blessing is on this ministry. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to stay on that ministry, at least as far as my teaching is concerned, as long as I draw breath. Because there's one thing I know, and that is we have only one God, And he is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is he who is God Almighty. And as long as we stand for that, sir, as long as we declare it, as long as we believe it, there is nothing that can deter this ministry from moving out to the people who want to know God and who want to get saved and know they got saved and whose lives need to be changed. I want to tell you it's a ministry that has life in it because it's got God in it and he is life. And I thank God for his wonderful grace and mercy in allowing us to live in this day and time and hour. I found out tonight how many we hadn't done that before, you know. I got access to it, but I just never get around to figuring it all out. So I let all these computer guys figure it out. All I know is that every person in that core to me is just precious. And I don't see numbers, I see individuals. I see your heart, I see your love, I see the thing you need in your life to make you a better woman or a better man. I see what you really need, and that's why every individual in that core is precious. Like every individual who's born again of God's Spirit, wherever I teach and whenever I teach, you're just precious to me. Why? Because you're God's child. You're God's son, you're God's daughter, and that's what makes you so precious. And walking before him, knowing that he is the true God, and that it is his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price of complete redemption, that we who were dead, and ladies and gentlemen, when you're dead, you can't help yourself very much. If you don't believe it, walk outside there in the seven trees and say, look, Harry, get out. He's not. He's dead. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're dead, you don't help yourself very much. And the Word of God says that all men are dead in trespasses and sins and without what? God and without hope. Well, somebody got us up spiritually. And it was not by my works, lest any man should boast, but by God's grace. By God's grace that you are seated here tonight. By God's grace I'm living tonight, standing here, teaching the Word and praying for you and loving you with the love of Christ. It's by God's grace, not by my works, but by his grace. Not by my intellectual ability, but by God's grace. Not by my scholarly ability, but by God's grace. Because we have only one God. And you know I love that God. I love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Every ounce of my being that I have, I love him with. And you know why I can love him so much? I've never seen God, but I know his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ declared God. He made known God. He declared him. And Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can only know God, who is Spirit, by knowing his wonderful son, Jesus Christ. And it is he who rescued us out from among. When we were dead, he made us alive. Ladies and gentlemen, let the world again see life. That life of Christ living in you. Then my brother Harry will not have died in vain. But if that life doesn't continue to live, then he gave his life in vain for us. If we don't walk on this, then I'm giving my life in vain. I'm wasting my time. But ladies and gentlemen, God wouldn't have me in this ministry to waste my time. That's why you're here. You are like that gold dust in the bottom of the river of life. He took it out and he put it in that band of gold. Put it in there. And he knows every place it fits. You don't look at my life and say, oh, I wish I was Dr. Weirwill. I could stand up there and teach. No, no, no. I don't look at your life and say, boy, I wish I could sit in your seat and be as beautiful as you are. No, no. Each one is God's precious jewel. Each one belongs to God, and each one walks before God in the capacity of your believing And God knows where you fit. And when you carry out your responsibility, whether it's washing dishes, sweeping floors, being in the Corps and not being in the Corps, being in business or not in business, being professional or not, where if you just walk on God's word and love God, you'll be exactly where God wants you. And at that spot, you are God's best. And whenever I say, God bless you, I love you, you are the best. That's the picture in my mind. You being exactly where God wants you, holding forth the greatness of that love of God through Jesus Christ, so that men and women again can see the great Savior and the power of our God. Ladies and gentlemen, we've maybe got 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years here upon this earth. Even that at 90 would be short. Eternity's a lot longer. And this afternoon again in that film, I think Mr. Strawhall makes the statement of all statements in that film. When he talks about men living to be 70 years of age, and then a hole in the ground, he said, how are you going to compare that 70 years and a hole in the ground with eternal life? And he says, there is no comparison, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't staked my life on these 70 years. I'm enjoying living, I guess. Haven't thought about it lately, but at least I'm living. Pinch myself. I'm here, but I've staked my life, number one, on my wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I learned about from the book. And I staked my life on the integrity and accuracy of God's Word, and I looking for the return. The hope of the return, for that will give us the presence with Uncle Harry, all the believers of the past, throughout all eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be a fool if you don't turn to be a Christian. Because Christianity, being born again of God's Spirit, gives you eternal life, and that's a lot longer than 70 years and a hole in the ground. I'd stake my life on eternity if I were you. And the truth and the accuracy of God's Word, and walk with the great grace and love, and just walk in the tenderness of Christ. That's what I do. Well, I'd like for Claudette to sing Amazing Grace. Claudette?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God. God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like